JC2S, Part 1.
Number 21A.
All right, so we go on now, and with this tone of principle as a spirit, I think we've already saw last evening the enormous implications behind this pure science of God, and that's what we get now here at the point of principle is spirit, how that science of God is spiritual. And again, I believe that we can see from the work this week in class how that science of God is above and outside the realm of physical science, of mental science. It stands in the realm of what the method of investigation is, what the method of awareness is to investigate then that holistic divine principle, which is God. Something that is quite a task, we can see, and yet something which Mrs. Eddy said as we began the week, men and women, are we ready to voice this higher order of science? So let's go on and see what this higher order of science involves. Again, in the time that we have to take the infinite principle and to reduce it to just a few hours, we know just is not possible. This subject of on the principle tone really does then touch that sense of infinity insofar as when you touch an idea, you touch the infinite one. And so with this subject, we see with every subtone in the principle main tone, it's one feels that way. If you touch an idea of principle as mind, you've touched the infinite one. Or if you touch the subject of principle as spirit, you've touched the infinite one. Or the same it is with principle as soul, principle as principle as life, principle as truth, principle as love. And in such a case, words can never express all that one sees behind a subtone, nor can it be written about all that one sees behind this main tone in its subtones at the point of principle. So all we really can do then is to see that through the method of science, Mrs. Eddy reduced that infinite one to its basic points, to its basic structure, taking nothing away from the infinite one. So we'll take a look then at just the big overall points of these subtones, developing the main tone of principle. And I know and trust that then in your quiet time and hours, according to the scientific method of awareness, going out from that divine mind and letting the mind which wrote the text reveal the text, because as Mrs. Eddy said, it was written through inspiration and it needs inspiration to be understood. And of course, she shows that coupled with the scientific sense. So it is born to you and born to your consciousness, not in this class. I can only indicate that it's big. And I think that we've seen that the science of God is big, and that it cannot be stated in 24 hours. That would be silly to even think so. But the method, the atmosphere, the attitude of approach can be. And so with that attitude of scientific obstetrics, one can then have quite an adventure this year going back over the main tones of mind, spirit, and soul in this chapter, onto this main tone of principle, and then onto the main tone of life and truth. So let's now look at what we have here as the main epitome for the main tone. We've already seen then that it's that ever operative divine principle, which is Emmanuel, God with us, which comes to us specifically, is forever one with us, and therefore overturns within our consciousness in the world the concept of a material science with this science of God, which is based on this ever-operative principle which he showed us in the main tone of principle is mind, as those eternal laws of life, truth, and love, the teaching of the divine comforter. Therefore, in principle mind, I think we stood in awe of what she shows, that this ever-operative principle is the basis of the science of God. So we see then that this ever-operative principle, which then is the science of God, bases itself on the divine mind, not on the human mind. And I think we see now what that implies, where Jesus showed and could therefore walk over the water, treading on the forces of mind, treading on those forces of adhesion, cohesion, and attraction, which are properties of mind. Knowing that he was treading on mind forces, he could walk over the water. Therefore, he walked over the water, not in and with the concept of materiality. And we saw then that principle, which is mind, launched the earth into its orbit through that adhesion, cohesion, and attraction, which are properties that belong to mind. As she says, they belong to that principle mind and support the equipoise of that thought force, which launched the earth in its orbit and said to the proud wave, thus far and no farther. Answering then that enigma that remains an enigma within the physical sciences until answered through the science of God, what is the origin of movement? Now we go on then and see that such a impact has an impact on the world if mind is the origin of all movement and mind is the origin of the science of God. Then she showed us that the elements and function of the physical world will change. They will change then, we saw, from matter and energy, from the basis of duality, friction, electricity, through a more metaphysical basis of laws as the fundamental basis of the universe, mathematical laws, into then ideas as being those elements and foundation building blocks of the universe, including man. So on that basis now we go forward and see then that this principle, which is God, this principle of the science of God, then gives us now a science which is spiritual, a science or a principle that bases itself on the divine mind, must be and only must be spiritual. Therefore, there is no physical science. Of course, that's revolutionary, especially in the time of Mrs. Eddy and her revelation, when Newton and that very mechanistic physical explanation of science was going on, for her to see through revelation that all science is spiritual. There's no physical science. So we see that now and know then that the Christ, through his translation and retranslation, will remove the physical basis from science into a more mental basis, finally into its original basis, the spiritual basis. So let's see if we hear this point behind the subtone of spirit. It's a long subtone, and that always means it's very important. It also means that the implications are, if we touch this subtone, we've touched the infinite one. It is big, it is long, and we will devote as much time as we can to it. We'll read it through quickly, and then we'll come back and take the subject, just for convenience sake, marginal heading by marginal heading. We will see then that this subject is appears on page 125.31 to 128.3. Thus matter will finally be proved nothing more than a mortal belief, wholly inadequate to affect a man through its supposed organic action or supposed existence. Error will be no longer used in stating truth. The problem of nothingness or dust to dust will be solved. A mortal mind will be without form and void, for mortality will cease when man beholds himself God's reflection, even as man sees his reflection in a glass. All science is divine. Human thought never projected the least portion of true being. Human belief has sought and interpreted in its own way the echo of spirit, and so seems to have reversed it and repeated it materially. But the human mind never produced a real tone nor sent forth a positive sound. The point at issue between science on the one hand and popular theology on the other is this. Shall science explain cause and effect as being both natural and spiritual? Or shall all that is beyond the cognizance of the material senses be called supernatural and be left to the mercy of speculative hypothesis? I have set forth Christian science and its application to the treatment of disease just as I have discovered them. I have demonstrated through mine the effects of truth on the health, longevity, and morals of men. And I have found nothing in ancient or modern systems on which to found my own, except the teachings and demonstration of our great master and the lives of the prophets and the apostles. The Bible has been my only authority. I have had no other guide in the straight and narrow way of truth. If Christendom resists the author's application of the word science to Christianity or questions her use of the word science, she will not therefore lose faith in Christianity, nor with Christianity lose its hold upon her. If God, the all in all, be the creator of the spiritual universe, including man, then everything entitled to a classification as truth or science must be comprised in a knowledge or understanding of God, for there can be nothing beyond illimitable divinity. The terms divine science, spiritual science, Christ science, or Christian science, or science alone, she employs interchangeably according to the requirements of the context. These synonymous terms stand for everything relating to God, the infinite, supreme, eternal mind. It may be said, however, that the term Christian science relates especially to science as applied to humanity. Christian science reveals God not as the author of sin, sickness, and death, but as divine principle, supreme being mind, exempt from all evil. It teaches that matter is the falsity, not the fact of existence, that nerves, brain, stomach, lungs, and so forth have as matter no intelligence, life, nor sensation. There is no physical science, inasmuch as all truth proceeds from the divine mind. Therefore, truth is not human and is not a law of matter, for matter is not a lawgiver. Science is the emanation of divine mind and is alone able to interpret God aright. It has a spiritual and not a material origin. It is a divine utterance, the comforter which leadeth into all truth. Christian science eschews what is called natural science, insofar as this is built on the false hypothesis that matter is its own lawgiver, that law is founded on material conditions, and that these are final and overrule the might of divine mind. Good is natural and primitive. It is not miraculous to itself. Absolutely an incredible dissertation on the pure basis of the science of God principle. Now, if we can, with that inspiration of the divine mind, in the humility of the Christ, approach this subtone, we can glean through it perhaps in the time we have some of its big points. Now, what we will do, as I said, is take then the subtones and take the subject then through the subtones. Overall, we could say then that this science of God, which bases itself then on mind, now she shows, is the only science. There is no physical science. She will therefore now begin to bring this point home through this subtone. So we'll read now just what she has under the marginal heading, Mortal Nothingness. Thus matter will finally be proved nothing more than a mortal belief, wholly inadequate to affect a man through its supposed organic action or supposed existence. Error will be no longer used in stating truth. The problem of nothingness, or dust to dust, will be solved. A mortal mind will be without form and void, for mortality will cease when man beholds himself God's reflection, even as man sees his reflection in a glass. So, in answer to Dubois Raymond's question, that enigma, therefore, what is the nature of matter and energy? Mrs. Eddy shows it from the standpoint of divine science here and says, thus matter will finally be proved nothing more than a mortal belief, wholly inadequate to affect a man through its supposed organic action or supposed existence. So from the standpoint of divine science, which is behind this principle, which is spirit, we see that it's a wrong question, that matter does not exist. It only exists as a belief. And we saw quite clearly that she shows that the mind is spirit tone, that what exists is the three great verities of spirit: omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience. Spirit possessing all power, filling all space, constituting all science. Contradict forever the belief that matter can be actual. These eternal verities reveal primeval existence as a radiant reality of God's creation, in which all that he made is pronounced by his wisdom good. So we see then that this... we see here from this subtone, you can just put back, that matter is nothing then more, and will be proved, that's the science tone, that matter will, the must of the Christ, finally, the love tone, be proved, the principle tone, nothing more than a mortal belief, the opposite of mind, wholly inadequate to affect a man. So she shows, therefore, that matter is proved to be nothing more than a mortal mind's belief. And then she will go on, to show here. She shows, all right, that matter is nothing more than a belief of mortal mind. She shows that error will be no longer used in stating truth. She's showing everything that is taken is being taken away from what makes physical science organized. Remember, she says that this belief will last, she said, until there is no organization to support it. As we saw last evening in the principle as mind tone, she says, when this human belief lacks organization to support it, its foundations are gone. So the beliefs that are organized around physical science, she begins to take away. Like the Cheshire cat, huh? That only the grin is left and that's removed. First, she removes the myth behind physical science, that matter is the basis of science, and shows that matter is nothing more than a belief, a myth. Then she says here, therefore, that error will be no longer used in stating truth. So error, which is the belief of matter, will, through the Christ, finally, love, be proved or solved to be without value. That error will no longer be used in stating truth. It will have no value, the opposite of spirit. It's nothing. Therefore, we see then that, and then she goes on to remove the next big pillar from science. And mortal mind will be without form and void. So showing, well, that even in this science of God, which is the only science, that through the Christ translation and retranslation, that mortal mind, the grin, the last part of the big point of physical science, because that's what it's just reduced down to, will finally also be proved and solved to be without form and void, to be valueless, the opposite of spirit. It will have no value. it will be seen to be nothing. And then she says, for mortality will cease when man beholds himself God's reflection, even as man sees his reflection in a glass. So we see that she said right there at the beginning of the text book point here of this chapter, that when apparently near the confines of mortal existence, standing already within the shadow of Death Valley, I learned these truths in divine science. So we saw, therefore, that the last enemy to be overcome is not death, but it's material birth. This sensuous reasoning, this material reasoning, she shows us here in The Science of Spirit, that this reasoning based on matter, based on a duality, based on friction, that when that reasoning ceases, which is based on all of the above, she says, which is based on matter, which is based, which is really just the belief in mortal mind, she shows that this error will finally be proved and solved to be without value. And when that is done, mortality ceases. Because mortality is just the effect of that sensuous reasoning, that material birth. And when the material birth goes, so does mortality. Because death is just the outcome of a material birth. And so she says, and when does that happen? She says, when man beholds himself God's reflection. When we see ourselves the pure reflection of God. Now, how does that happen? Does that happen on our own effort? She says, no. That doesn't happen on an effort of our own, because she showed there through the Christ translation and retranslation, as we remember, which came under the mind of love tone, that whole translation and retranslation, therefore is showing that mind is all-inclusive, because it is the scientific translation of immortal mind, handling the belief of mortal mind through its retranslation. And when that translation and retranslation has been accomplished by the Christ, she says, in the third degree, mortal mind disappears. As she just said, mortal mind must and will be proved as null and void. And man as God's image appears. Therefore, we behold ourselves as God reflection, not on our own effort, but we see now on the effort of the Christ. On the effort of the Christ translation and retranslation, that will enable us to see that we are the pure reflection of God, the image of mind. And therefore, we'll see that mind is one, including noumenon and phenomena, including God and his thoughts, including God and man, principle and idea. So we see then that we are the image in mind, the pure reflection of mind, idea. And so she goes on then with the next big point in the marginal heading, where she talks about a lack of originality. And so we read that. And she says, all science is divine. Human thought never projected the least portion of true being. Human belief has sought and interpreted in its own way the echo of spirit, and so seems to have reversed it and repeated it materially. But the human mind never produced a real tone nor sent forth a positive sound. So here we see now that big point that she has built the basis up now to show then that the basis of science is mind. Which is pure, which is spiritual. And now therefore she can show now that all science is divine. Because we see now that the mortal mind has disappeared. And she shows, well, anyhow, human thought or mortal mind never could project the least portion of true being. She says, human belief has sought and interpreted in its own way. So here we have mind, which is mortal mind or human thought. Anyhow, that human belief, all it was doing, she says, was seeking and interpreting in its own way, the opposite of principle, the echo of spirit. Hear that? Beautiful. She's showing that human belief interpreted in its own way that echo of spirit, that reflection of spirit, and called it matter. And so seems to have reversed it. You see, human belief in using its own interpretation, not the interpretation of science, the true leaven of the language of spirit, but using its own interpretation, it looked at that echo of spirit. And as Mrs. Eddy shows, and we saw, that anything that goes outside the echo of spirit, the focal point of spirit, is turned upside down. Remember, she says, gives us an inverted, perverted, reversed image. So all that goes outside the echo of spirit, which is by human belief in its own interpretation, presents to us, she said, an inverted, perverted image with everything turned upside down. So that's what the human belief did, and it repeated it materially. She said, but the human mind never, you hear that sense from the standpoint of divine science, the human mind never produced a real tone, spirit, nor sent forth a positive sound, the sense of spirit. So she's showing, therefore, that they only point that sends forth a positive sound, therefore, is that a scientific basis, which is based on the divine mind, which then interprets the echo of spirit as spirit. Okay, so we go on to the next marginal heading, just using it as a convenience for a break. The point at issue between Christian science on the one hand and popular theology on the other is this. Shall science explain cause and effect as being both natural and spiritual? Or shall all that is beyond the cognizance of material senses be called supernatural and be left to the mercy of speculative hypotheses?